Greetings, everyone. Are you ready for an accelerated course in higher consciousness? This is how our global village will get ahead of the accelerated rate of change we are now seeing in the world. It won't be with the same consciousness that created the problems we see. It will be with a new consciousness that is now evolving with the angels of our better nature. Welcome to Cosmic Love. Have you ever considered what will happen when the language of cosmic love becomes common sense with a common language? Are you aware that this love language is, in fact, the learning process, the creative process, and the processes of consciousness at the quintessential foundation of self-governance? Think about that. Such a language of consciousness has the potential to involve and evolve our individual and collective consciousness. This is what cosmic love is all about, higher conscience. Give yourself a checkup from the neck up. What do you think will happen to your world and the world at large as we become more conscious of how we are conscious, both individually and collectively? I'll give you a big hint. Take a good look at the worldwide web of consciousness that the internet has created. Consider this new net reality for what it truly is, a global revolution in higher consciousness. The instant, everywhere, interactive internet has eliminated space and time. We're all connected in a global village now. All knowledge is at your fingertips. Knowledge power as never before known to humanity. But where's the cosmic love, you may ask? There's a new net reality shaping the consciousness of humanity. Freedom to know better and the opportunity to do better has far outpaced the ability of our core institutions to keep up with the revolutionary capabilities for all humanity. That's what the internet represents, the evolving consciousness of humanity, the collective consciousness of humanity, and the collective future of humanity. That's where cosmic love comes in. Any good metaphysician with his finger on the pulse of humanity could tell you that. If you step out of the box of contemporary groupthink and if you become an objective observer of the evolutionary ascent of net reality caused by the internet, you will not only see a huge wave of change coming, but also the nature of that change and the role that cosmic love will play in change events. There is a natural evolutionary path to these changes. Cosmic love is a blueprint for that change. It always has been. But humanity is just beginning to grasp the multidimensional consciousness required to navigate the vast, uncharted realm of inner space, the internet, at the heart of the internet. This is the new global village consciousness that is defining the collective conscience of humanity. Let's get real. Net reality is what we make it. Where do you think it's going? How do you think we'll get through the birth pangs of a new world being born? Are you ready for the next big thing in the computer internet revolution? Would you agree that the best way to predict the future is to create it? Cosmic love is the answer to these questions. All I ask is that you listen and learn. See how you can catch the biggest wave of opportunity in history. I'll explain how you can ride that wave for phenomenal win-win benefits for yourself and all humanity. Those hearing this are obviously computer literate, so connect the dots. Get a grip on the net reality of global connection with the benefits of cosmic love. Someone has to do it. May it begin with us, United Sovereigns, in a united state of cosmic love. Always victory when we love enough, keep the faith, get the vision, embrace the virtue, make the vow, and claim the victory of cosmic love in your world and the world at large.
Greetings, everyone. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love for August 6th, 2016. And it's my great pleasure to have Kara Johnstad on the show again today. Kara's spring debut on Cosmic Love, that was the April 16th show, featured her extraordinary voice with the song Message of Hope, which I'll play now to demonstrate her exceptional talent.
In a world where dreams have slipped away, all our sorrows come to stay. I believe in this one single word, struggling hard to find some solid ground, lost in doubts our fears abound. In the somewhere a voice can be.
That amazing voice introduction. Let me add that Kara Johnstad grew up as a songwriter in Berlin, Germany, and as a highly sensitive and creative individual, her extraordinary gifts shaped her life as an artist and mentor for thousands of voices, Thank you, Kara, for being with us on Cosmic Love today.
Thank you, Christopher, Rudy, for this invitation to join you and this wonderful show. Very, very happy to be with you tonight.
Kara, you're in the United States now. You're usually in Germany working Europe. What's the story here now? What's going on?
I grew up. I mean, I was in Berlin, Germany as a small child, and then I spent the major part of my childhood in the Midwest of the United States, in Wisconsin, and went to the University of Minnesota, and then went back to Europe, actually in my early 20s, to experience the Berlin Wall falling, which was very powerful. And so today I had the great joy of driving down the Mississippi River, or I guess on the roadside, on these gorgeous bluffs. And I saw my childhood home where I grew up, and I was able to spend some time with my grandmother, who's now 91 years old and is at the end of this life, and has very extreme Alzheimer's. So it was, it was very bittersweet. It was a very bittersweet day where we just acknowledge how precious this time is that we have here on the planet. And, so in the moment, I'm sitting in a convent in Wabasha, Minnesota, about two blocks away from the Mississippi River. And it's good to be back home. Very good.
Wow. Well, you're extraordinarily prolific. You've got on your website, KaraJohnstadt.com, you've got a lot of different music, different types of music. But your voice, and the orchestration you have, you've got some phenomenal people that you work with the orchestration in the background, and working with the music, with the tunes that you write. I mean, when I say that, you're a songwriter, and your words are amazing in themselves. And of course, I think half the message is the words. And the feeling that you bring to it is amazing. And we've been, in a previous show, you really went into, this is April 16th, and that's on the Cosmic Love homepage. People that haven't listened to that, you went into some extraordinary dimensions of the science and the spirit of form and frequency, vibrations with the music and the thought forms with the words, and we went into that in some amazing detail, and I won't try to replicate that today because you are doing some new work. I actually just featured your one song, We Have a Choice, on the HeartCom Network blog. I just put it in at the bottom, and that article, some people listening that are coming from my newsletter on the internet will have had a chance to hear that. We Have a Choice, and we may play that later in the show. But you've also, that's part of an album that you've got coming out. What's the story there?
I do. I have a wonderful album. Message of Hope will be included on it. We Have a Choice, maybe. I don't know. I've been working on an orchestral album together with my arranger and producer, Fabrizio Piliucci, who's in Rome. So we record in Rome and also in Bucharest. And so the orchestra that you heard on Message of Hope is the Concertissimo Orchestra under the direction of Laura Lungo. So these are my key team members in the moment. And it gives me basically the freedom to produce and to remain independent, and also the people around me that trust that each song basically has a form and has a shape. And so if you go to my homepage or if you go to iTunes and Amazon, you'll hear that depending on the song and what it's asking of me, it depends on how we're going to dress it, more or less. And I think that's a great freedom as a singer-songwriter, which few people have, is to say, not I'm doing jazz or I'm doing blues or I'm doing a classical album, but to say, okay, this song or this poem or these words are calling to be voiced and what do they need? Do they need a cello or a string quartet, or do they need, like I just brought on another song called Spirit Walk, which is a spoken word rap song and more of a peace chant, which is, you know, which does not have the orchestral piece. So the next album, which I'm bringing out in the beginning of January of 2017, is called Moon in Capricorn. It's all originals, and I'm incredibly excited because it includes a lot of my poetry and spoken word. It includes everything from pop to jazz to new age, and it also includes my first symphonic works without voice. So sometimes when I'm also a meditator, I spend a lot of time in silence, and there are moments when I don't have any words. I mean, there are moments that come where I just have an incredibly beautiful melody that's given to me. And before in my life, I probably would have tried to put words onto that melody. And now I'm to a point in my life where I say truth is truth. And sometimes the words come without melody. That would be a poem. And sometimes the melody comes without words. That would be my symphony work or my piano pieces. And sometimes they come together. And that's me as a singer-songwriter. And to be able to do that and to produce your own, I produce my own works and also work with Fabrizio Pigliucci to bring them out into the world is a great gift. I can just say it's really a blessing to not have to conform to some kind of a box that the market has set for artists and to say, well, this is what channeled through me, and so this is how I'm going to work.
I don't know. Sometimes on the show Cosmic Love, we get into astrology, psychology. Is your moon in Capricorn?
Yes, it is. My moon is in Capricorn. I'm actually born on the cusp between Cancer and Leo. My ascending sign is Leo, so I'm always telling people, and if you know my voice and if you know my work and if you ever, if we ever have lunch together or dinner, I'm very, very strong. I mean, very present, and at the same time incredibly sensitive. And so and I think my moon is in Capricorn, which saved me maybe from, you know, I'm highly passionate but incredibly grounded. The Capricorn, the moon is the emotional, right? The emotional sides, and I'm very steady, I would say, also with my work. You know, I can do symphony albums because I work every day. I wake up every day at the same time. I meditate 2 hours every day. Every day after lunch, you know, I take a little nap. I'm like a grandma. No, I'm very structured with putting out my work and very focused on the voices that I hear, the voices that I've been given to, you know, I wouldn't do very well on big tours with lots of drugs or vodka, or not saying that most tour musicians, I know they're, you know, to be able to manage to do all that, they're pretty disciplined. But, I drink water and iced tea, and my moon is in Capricorn. Very boring. Yeah.
Well, I know Capricorn is a powerful sign. I think most of the presidents of the United States, more of them were Capricorn than any other sign. But and my second wife was always reminding me that Capricorn leads all the signs.
Wow! Yeah,
it's definitely a leadership sign, but it's an earth sign. It's well grounded, and your music
very
is
grounded.
Well, yeah, and it's that comes through in a frequency range that. I don't know, it reminds me of Barbara Streisand. She doesn't have anything on you.
So. Yeah, I mean, some of the work I've done, I did a show in New York, and I was actually, you know, we were compared, and I was very honored to get a critic, actually, who said that I even surpassed on certain things. I did a show with Michelle Legrand music. I mean, Streisand, I have great respect for. And I think what you'll hear in my music, again, just like the different styles of production, I also, my voice changes if I'm singing jazz or if I'm singing with orchestra. I think each song, I have a very flexible voice with a lot of colors and a very big range. And so I think that each song calls to us to be performed in sometimes with different, you know, with a different attention to line or color. And I'm hoping that if, you know, if you explore my work, you'll hear that some things sound very, you know, almost like strings or very clear lines. And then I have other things that sound more soul or more folky. And that's just the music being asked. You know, piano players do it all the time, but most singers, they have a certain set way that they sing. And I tend to, I think I have a line in my voice, but I tend to try to ask the song what it needs to be, the story, what the truth is behind the story.
Well, we shared some amazing stories before regarding you're working with other singers, and of course you do training with singers.
Right.
I guess also with piano. I guess you do some of your work with singing, mentoring. Understand you do it with Skype all over the world. People that
yes.
are highly intelligent with lots of heart, but they haven't found their voice, and you work with them. As a voice coach.
Yeah, well, doing this work, I think that I grew a lot as a singer-songwriter, as a performer. I had to go through a lot of these steps of not only how to have a beautiful tone, but how to deal with the judges that come up or the critics that we carry within ourselves, or how to come to that place of truth. And as a songwriter, many of the songwriters that we know, they sometimes don't necessarily have the biggest voices in the world because there's a protection mechanism that happens. And many of the people that have big voices, they're singing the songs from other composers. So my big challenge for myself was always, how can I be very honest and be very truthful and be very authentic, and at the same time have the courage to walk out on stage with that four octaves that I have, and not, not hide behind Puccini or hide behind a Gershwin, or how can I stand in my truth? And I think that that is a big path to, that is my path to liberation, and I'm able to work a lot from the beginner's mind because of my day spent in meditation. And now the piano thing, so I've been doing vocal coaching at university levels and then private coaching and internationally and also with Skype, voice coaching and also speaking. I also help people to speak their truth. So the people that do not necessarily want to sing yet, basically to stand in the truth. But about 4 months ago, I would say, or maybe 6 months ago, I received basically a channel how to teach piano in basically 3 hours, from never having touched the piano before to playing chords, because I had a lot of people that wanted to write songs and they felt that they couldn't, and I had a lot of singer-songwriters that were always working with bands and they wanted to also sit down and just play. And I suddenly had this really mystical moment to see all these numbers, like 88 keys and 8 plus 8 is 16 and 1 plus 6 is 7, and we have 7 chakras and there's 7 tones in the major and minor scales. And if you look at the piano, there are, if you look at the two black notes, which I call the twins, there's 7 sets of those and there's 7 sets of the triplets. And I suddenly got this whole Kabbalah thing happening. It was very crazy. And so I decided to create a workshop basically for people that had never touched the piano or people that couldn't read chords and within 3 hours, basically, they learn the whole piano, they learn to transpose, they learn the major scale, minor scale, major triad, minor triad, and they learn to read chords so that they can Google or search for any kind of lyric that they like with these chord symbols on top and sit down and play. And it worked. And that's how piano came into this crazy voice path that
wow.
I'm on. So, yeah.
So
that was the fault of the numbers. Basically, the numbers started to pour through me, the patterns of numbers, and I had to write it down exactly.
Well, the science of frequency and form and numbers and the fractal order of the holographic universe, it's the law of correspondence comes through the chords. And I think of, you know, someone told me once that, and I'm not sure if this is the right translation, but he was saying that he'd made a research of how everything was vibration. And I think
right.
you were sharing with me when I talked to you earlier that real estate, they say everything is location, 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 and consciousness raising, everything is vibration, vibration, vibration. I thought that
That's
was
correct.
Great. And this person was sharing with me that almost all the popular music is three octaves of B flat below C, he was saying. And that he had made a study of it, and from pop music going back for years, and there's a lot of these Christian music stations in the United States. It's not pop music, but it's all, you know, a lot of it is the frequency ranges of this three octaves of B flat below C, and the words are Christian oriented, and that's why they're not on the pop stations. But it's a real popular channel. I think it's called K-Love. It's syndicated all across the United States. And a lot of people listen to that largely because of the harmonics. It's the frequency. It's not even the words so much, although the words mm-hmm. carry a coherence, a feeling that is inspirational because it's, and he explained, and of course, this guy was not only a researcher of harmonics in general, he was the scientist that was actually putting three octaves of B flat below C into water with distributors, three different distributors hooked up to a bank of Tesla coils with 1.3 million volts of electricity, so that water was going through steam and glass tubes through these Tesla coils and silver anodes and putting that frequency into water. And this guy was and I worked with him. He was a shaman. He was raised as a shaman, and he would go directly to source on all this stuff, on these different
right.
Nikola Tesla and other inventions. And I mention this because he said everything was frequency. He says, and he never called himself a shaman. He says real shamans don't do that. But he was like a genius that was always going to source every night, you know, and he could read auras and see where, you know, there was the imbalance in the auras. And he would, people would drink this water, and it would put parasites in the body, you know, bacteria, fungus, viruses, into what we call parasite paralysis. In other words, they would hibernate,
right.
and they would just die off, and it would clear
right.
up everything from colds to cancer after about a month of drinking this water.
Right.
And we shipped this, truckloads of this all over the United States when I was working with him. And, of course, he was always one step ahead of the feds. I actually helped him weld together a stainless steel trailer that had Tesla coils and the lab part of it that would do the water, so that if he had to exit to a different place, he would have his... I mean, it was an amazing, to me, a testament of frequency heals.
Well,
on
a lot of
different levels.
Yeah, I mean, I do know of studies where there is one lake, I'm trying to think of the name now, but that was very, very polluted, and the monks were chanting and cleared the lake, you know, in a short time. And I also know there's a lake in Switzerland where a sound healer basically also took a keyboard, put up, you know, and I don't know how this works because I just, you know, I saw the studies and I read it, but I'm not sure about putting electronics into water. But he basically had run a cable or a sound cable into the lake that was polluted and had a lot of algae and played a certain frequency, and the lake cleared. So we're not, you know, we're talking no chemicals. no anything, and the polluted lake became healthy again. So yes, everything is frequency. Every single being has sound, and that is why I believe that sound is behind all creations, that sound is the creator. I think we talked about this on the last show, that everybody is talking a lot about the need for silence. The truth is, my truth is that the only place we have silence, true silence, is in a vacuum. And so the word silent is are the letters that, in the end, listen. And what we're actually seeking is to listen to our own inner voice. When we're seeking that quiet time and we're seeking a moment to hear or to reflect and not to have, you know, radio waves or television waves or emails popping in or whatever, we're not seeking silence. We're actually seeking the quietude so that we can hear our inner voice and our understand our inner rhythm and our inner pulse, because we all have frequencies. All our organs are also tuned to our frequencies. So through the voice, we're able to retune our body, mind, spirit system, as simple as using humming and as grand as then expanding that out into the world, to, from writing and reflecting off a paper into speaking and reflecting in rooms, into concert halls, and into being able to put your voice into all the bodies all over the world, all over the planet, one voice. And that's the line from Message of Hope. You know, it's the smallest voice that turns meek to bold, right? It takes one voice that, if it resonates, if it strikes a chord, it can literally start whole movements of consciousness. And I find that to be phenomenal, how one voice, and then again, if we join in voices and have a common vision, how we can shape-shift and transform our planet into a better place to live for everybody. So if that sound healer is able to do with water, and our bodies are all water, what can we do instead of being on a truck where we have to run away from the feds when they're catching us? Well, what can we do to tune? Our body is more than 80% water, 90% water. How can we tune our own body all the time so that we can also be free of disease? And that's, for me, sound frequencies and singing and humming and chanting.
Yeah, I think sound healing is going to be one of those, and light healing, sound healing, frequency healing is going to be one of those golden age Aquarian phenomena as we move from the paradigm of the chemistry of disease to the quantum energies of health. And this is the shift. And when I, and matter of fact, I was writing about that recently, well, in the last blog on at HeartCom Network, I talked about, you know, the rise of the divine feminine and coherent, right, coherent soulful co-creation, and how the soul is feminine. The soul is, you know, it's like the divine feminine, you know, it's like our higher self, our real self. Some people refer to their Christ self. But, you know, it's like, well, as we become more conscious of how we are conscious, like a biofeedback loop with that small voice of conscience, you know, back there. And again, this is back into the quietude, you know, becoming, you know, the still mind like a still mountain lake, you know, that will reflect the heavens, but you can see through the mountain lake, still mountain lake, to the subterranean, you know, below. And it's like the superconscious and the subconscious, you know, when we're in still, quiet, reflective conscience, you know, that it really is the reflection as above, so below, on earth as in cosmos. And I think this is a kind of a universal phenomenon that people that meditate and get centered and connected, and good music, and a good voice can entrain an entire room with heart coherence. And, you know,
right,
we talked about this, how powerful that is. And these higher frequencies of coherent, you know, heart coherent, called love and action, it can hold the balance for multitudes of people. And the science of this has been well validated. And in this article on the divine rise of the divine feminine, there's this research by Dr. David R. Hawkins. He's an MD, PhD in psychology. And he did this book. It's one of my top 10 favorite books. It's called Power Versus Force, The Hidden Determinants of Human Behavior. And he did with many other people, research for more than a decade, with millions of tests utilizing behavioral kinesiology, which he documented in this book. And he said that one individual who lives and vibrates to the energy of pure love and reverence for all life will counterbalance the negativity of 750,000 individuals who calibrate at the lower weakening levels. Now, they did this with millions of tests utilizing behavioral kinesiology, and they have a whole gradient from 1 to 1,000. It was a matter of a frequency of an individual, and we all have these different frequencies. We sometimes refer to it as our prevailing awareness. You know, everyone has their prevailing awareness, and of course, when you're inspired, you know, your frequency goes higher. And this is what I understand with your music is it comes through, and the understanding of that this. Coherence and the voice, the coherence of the heart. The voice is like, and the throat is like a bridge between the heart and the mind. So, the voice, intonation, the humming, the toning, the singing, finding that voice is really connecting, as above, so below. You know, the heart and mind, And the science of that has fascinated me. We got into that more in the last show, and it's to me. I think this is. I'm seeing it come forth in all kinds of new biofeedback technology that's heart coherent oriented. I referred to this $18 application in the last show. You can get it on a smartphone that will actually show when you're in the frequency of coherence, heart coherence. Just from the modulations of your voice, the application will show you as you're talking to someone if you're coherent or not, or if the other person is incoherent or coherent or not. And
then you know not to sign the contract, right?
Yeah.
You put the little app, and if the other voice is not coherent, you're like, okay, this is not a good day to do business.
Yeah. Well, there's actually... Back to astrology, psychology, there's times when they suggest you avoid business contracts. And it really is, I mean, everyone at different times are more coherent or congruent than other times. And I think music
I just was going to say, you know, the amazing thing is I think that we're living in a time where we have all these possibilities and these tools. And at the same time, we're living in a time when there seems to be still a major amount of medication addiction, depression, and a lot of struggle. And so the question is, if we have all these tools, what is keeping us from doing such simple things, such as putting on a kitchen timer, laughing 5 minutes a day, which can really, really boost your immune system and get you healthier? What is keeping us from humming and whistling while we're washing our dishes or cooking? What is keeping us from integrating sound meditation and breath work into our daily lives? And I think that's for me this really aha question, because all these tools that we're talking about this evening, they're free. I mean, to feel love and to share love, to speak truth, to spend time meditating, to hum, to dance, to laugh. These are things that we were given from our body, inside our body, from our spirit and soul, to naturally bring us back into ease, right? So dis-ease is basically we're out of alignment.
Out of harmony.
Dis-ease, out of harmony. So
yeah.
How do I create that alignment, that body, mind, spirit alignment? I create it through the tools that I've been given, which every child knows. We know we see a child start dancing, start singing, start moving through their world using their sound and their body. And as adults, we're sitting at these desks for hours, or we're, you know, we're just stuck in whatever way, and we feel, or we're conditioned to feel, oh, that's so silly, right? That is so silly to, I don't know, start singing in the middle of the street when we get a little bit tense or nervous.
Or first thing in the morning, you know. When people wake up in the morning, you know, what do? They turn on ABC, CBS, NBC, or their Twitter feed, you know, and they start
right.
getting into all this mental stuff. What if they began, you know, and if there was a website that they could go to, and there was a selection, let's just say, for 7 days of the week, and they could do it randomly or just go through the week, wake up in the morning and go and listen to humming or toning, you know, like with Franciscan sisters, or singing with some simple songs that they could sing along with and get in their heart. And what if they began their day that way? I mean, what if there was that option? I don't know of any websites like that.
Yeah, we can start it. I do have another voice coming in through my line, but I'm not sure if that's on the radio.
I think I'm hearing Doug in the background talking to someone.
I think I am, too. I mean, you know, yes. I mean, we can do it. Let's start it. There's no better time than now. We are in very, what I like to call, evolutionary times. And I think the choice that we have is that when we get all this information from our Twitter feed or from our ABC, NBC, CNN, or all the many thousands of news networks, which is a lot of conflict and very much fear, the question is always, what do we do with it, right?
Yeah.
And I think this is a very important question also with voice work, because the first thing that happens is a consciousness maybe of, wow, I don't want to feed my system with that much fear. The second thing is, though, I don't want to just live in a bubblegum house of, pink light. That these things are happening in our world. We do have war. We do have famine. We do have a refugee crisis. We have these things. So how do I stay authentic? How do I feel the pain of the world so that I can stay with compassion? And how am I able to use the voice to lift the vibrational frequency so that, like you said, that one person can actually hold the vibration and lift up 750, I think that's what you said, right?
750,000 was the study.
Right.
That
exactly.
is a fully centered, connected, coherent,
right.
congruent, in you know, that in the frequency of, call it holy compassion, it's joy,
right.
it's just bliss. I can remember one time in my life when I was definitely there, and I mean just one time. Definitely there, to where it was
you
so.
You could have more coaching sessions with me, Christopher.
But this one time, my chakras went off and the energy went up my spine, my back arched, and you know the light and explosion went off in my head. I saw into the past, the future, and the bliss and the joy was so. And anything I thought of, it just blossomed in just such fullness, past or future, and it was a classic case of cosmic consciousness or whatever, but it definitely changed my life. I mean, big time. I totally,
yes.
You know, and that knowing that this exists, at that moment, I'm sure I was one with Source on a level, you know, from the soul level up, that was above and beyond. My sense of being only human consciousness, I left academia and went out to the mystery schools and began studying the mysteries of God. You know, it changed my life.
Yeah. It does change our lives when we have these experiences of oneness. I mean, I've had them a few times, and when everything starts, your whole body starts dissolving, and the energy, you're one with everything, right? The big samadhis. And I think, you know, I think this is basically the key, is that the thing is, we have the tools. This is not, woo-woo crazy stuff. We have the tools. Everybody has felt a moment in their life when they feel whole, or when they feel one, or when they feel one with truth or beauty. And we have the tools to get into that space and to make that a priority. And instead of feeding the negativity and the conflict, and when we choose to voice or when we choose to speak, can we speak with an intention to raise that vibration, knowing that we each and every one of us have the power? Let's say one in complete coherence is doing the 750,000. Well, my experience is that one who is just starting to hum, whistle, chant, they might be lifting 10 people. They might be lifting 500 people. They might be lifting, you know, 672 people, or even if you're lifting two or three other people. Isn't that what we need and want in these moments?
Oh, yeah. And,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, to be able to speak, also to say, really say to people, you know, at the end of the day, I love you, I care for you, I'm grateful for this day. I mean, just when we have those conflicts and we're like, oh, my God, you know, the world is going to, as we know, hell in a handcart or whatever.
Like, yeah.
What words do I need to speak to, without being fake? I mean, I'm not talking about, you know, brushing over this stuff, but I'm just saying, if we feel that color, let's say that color is blue or green or dark gray, what color would I need to speak? What words do I need to utter to bring that harmony? And in every symphony has dissonance, and every symphony, the thing I love about music, which nobody can understand, but it's actually something so crazy, and it's also something that makes people crazy to be with me sometimes, is that every song, every single song resolved, every song ever written does not end in dissonance. It's very funny. People always say, but Kara, you know, why or who cares? I'm like, you know what? I don't really care. You start in a key. You might transition through 5,000 different keys, but 99%, if you start in the key of B-flat, you're going to end in B-flat. If you start in the key of E-flat, you're going to end in A-flat. It's called harmony, and it's called nothing should stay in tension for too long. And yet we do have tension in every single good piece of music or literature. There's a moment of conflict. That moment is always resolved. And it's that easy. I'm like, you guys, that's how life is done. You have a misunderstanding with somebody, resolve it. Pick up the phone, resolve it. Because that's the only way that we're going to have world peace. Right?
Yeah, yeah. And I think the understanding, well, the science of coherence is actually like a universal standard in the fabric of the quantum field. It's the golden ratio algorithm of the heart rhythm when it's in a frequency of holy compassion. So there's science to it. It's just that this is something that really should be taught to elementary children, you know, the learning of coherence, you know, understanding of coherence. Being centered and connected and understanding the voice is a bridge between the heart and the mind and how that works. And the idea of learning, you know, the humming together and in a circle, you know, having a circle of people sitting and learning at an early age, you know, what coherence is and what frequency is and learning to hum together and then later to maybe perform together in kinder music, they do it at 3 years old with rhythm sticks, you know. They begin to, you know, beat repetition and learning basic, you know, how to jam, you might say, how to be in harmony with a group of people. And, of course, they found out that with the research with the kinder music is that these ensembles, you know, the people that have experience and can do that well, some of the best corporate teams in the world that went on, you know, with incredible success, they were musicians that knew how to, you know, within an ensemble, you know, how to make music together.
Right.
And they had that social skill, you know, in an organization, whether it be a nonprofit or otherwise, you know, it's the idea that of how we work together, how we co-create, how we cooperate, how we harmonize. And it comes back to the thing of coherence.
Yeah, it comes back to the thing of coherence, and it always comes back to also, we know, for example, when a child is born, I know many friends of mine who don't normally sing, suddenly they are singing and humming and rocking their babies, and they know that it's such an important integral part of growth and also of life and of balance. And then the children, they start learning, like you said, they go to Kinder Music or they go to other courses and they're, you know, finding the simple rhythm sticks and they start working together. My question is then, why does it suddenly, in whichever grade we have it, often slip only into a very intellectualized head mental state? And we get cut off from our body and we forget to really listen to that heart, and we forget to come into meditation every day, and we forget that we should start every single meeting also with a song or with breath or with that connected, coherent space. And,
yeah,
you know, this is my question to the world. It's not a question to you, because I think you and I are very much on the same wavelength. It's kind of like when we know that junk food is bad for us, but we keep on putting it in there. It's like if we know that something is good for us, well, the first thing we can do is to start to integrate it. So, I mean, I really ask everybody who's listening tonight, you know, where can you add those moments into your everyday life in a very easy way? You know, where can you add 5 minutes of humming into your life? Where can you, if you work with children, if you work in the library, if you work in a meeting, can you start the meeting with a moment of intention? Or can you start the meeting with a moment of tuning in and making a beautiful tone together to set that vibrational field before you go into making very major decisions that you might be needing to make for your company, right? Can we shift the way also that we do business, because we're spending 8, 10, 12 hours a day, many people doing their work. Can we work in a vibrational field of love which actually lifts up everything and everybody around us? And as we know, the voice, the incredible thing about voice is that it's anti-gravitational. So all the cells are lightening, the whole body, the frequencies are lifting. And if we can, yeah, if we can find ways to integrate that. And like I said, it's not, as my mother used to say, rocket science, right? I mean,
it's quantum science.
Really,
quantum science. It's frequency.
But it's very, very, very organically natural for us.
Yeah, it's an ancient
tone.
Ancient science. Even the Hopis had their kivas, these round structures that get down inside of in their dwellings. And these kivas would resonate. They found out that they had a resonance factor, so they could get in there and do toning invocations together, and it just really, their frequencies would rise together, and some people say that that's what happened to them, that they just ascended or were beamed off the planet because their frequency, they graduated or whatever, because whole groups of them just disappeared out of their Hopi dwellings with these kivas, and it's an ancient science. Yeah,
and Hopi and hope is pretty close to each other, right?
Yeah, and it's like the transmuting harm with harmony.
Right.
We're talking about these key words. I mean, in the language itself, you know, the keys are there, but it's all brought us back around to frequency and harmonics, and I love the work that you're doing. I think it's phenomenal. I think it's important. And I'm actually going to begin working on this idea with you of doing some harmonic things we could do on a website so people could wake up to some...
I would really love that.
I would love to. So I've got that one in the queue. That's one thing I want to put some energy into. I think it's important. And, Kara, I hope you... have a wonderful visit here in America. I don't know if you're going to have a chance to get out here to Chico Hot Springs, but I would love to see you and hear you here shortly in the future. We'll get together one way or the other, but recommend everyone that's listening, if you want to get more information on Kara's website, it's karajohnstead.com. And I got a feeling we got some unfinished business. We'll have to do another show again.
Yeah, let's do that. I will be starting. I'm not sure if it'll be launched in October or November, but I will also start doing online courses. In the moment, I do a lot of private Skype coaching, but if anybody out there is interested, I will have it posted on my homepage, and soon I will be doing you know, tone your way to better health, and really understanding the how to open the voice vortex channel, which is that heaven to earth connection, earth heaven connection. And I will be offering, you know, courses on that for the online communities that are out there. And I'm totally happy if anybody would also like to message me, just pop me a message. I'm traveling in the moment, but as soon as I get back to Berlin, I'm happy to answer those messages. It's very easy on my homepage just to send messages. So it's wonderful. Christopher, I think we have something going on here, and I'm very, always very, very touch to feel when that those frequencies, when they harmonize and we have more and more people on the same wavelength. I am passionate that our world will find peace for our children and for the next generations, because the madness and the war, it doesn't need to be.
Well, here's to more cosmic love, easier and faster, and
yeah.
So those who are listening, my gratitude to you, Kara, and by God's grace, keep faith, feel good, make it so, and we'll see everyone in a couple of weeks. Thanks, Kara. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye. Okay. Bye-bye.
May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening. The Cosmic Love.